Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three abreast.
It is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
Have you got a four abreast?
Time to sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post and Aaron Evernham here in our Concord, North Carolina studios. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, are you kidding me? I could not be any better.
Wow.
I got sprint cars. Wow. I got to see sprint
cars. I got
cars.
Some race cars this week.
What'd you get? What did you get?
I went to the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival.
Oh, I saw you did that. I saw some pictures of that.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really neat. They do a fantastic job. It's right in downtown Chattanooga, and they like actually block off city blocks and put the cars all out, but there's a racetrack that they make a mile away. It was really neat. Like, you're hanging out with David Hobbs and Bob Varsha and, like, Ryan Redmond, all these names from, the Formula One world and all, racers from all over the world. It's really neat. It was a great week and got to spend some time with Lynn St. James. And
nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good for you. That's great. Yeah, yeah. I saw some pictures from your world.
Yeah.
I went on, we'll get into sprint cars here in a little bit, but I did, one of the things, last year I did 160 races.
Oof.
Yeah, that's what I said when I got done with it. True.
That's a lot.
That again. It got stupid. Then it was just a race.
Yeah.
And it became an obsession, and I was driving at 2:30 in the morning, and for what? I mean, I love that I did it, but I made the decision this year that I was going to scale back. And I mean, I'm at 115 races.
But
there's a big difference between 115 and 160.
True.
Because I'm taking some time and doing things. The reality of it is with MRN and Summer Shootout and Millbridge, I'm at 100 probably.
Easily. Yeah,
pretty close to that before I even, that's so I'm not, but I decided I was going to do bucket list events. And this is bucket list, could have been a sprint car one. My original plan was the Spring Sizzler Modified race up at Stafford, but that got rained out this spring. One of the other ones that was kind of on the potential, the Asphalt Super Late Model World, the Winchester 400 up in Winchester, Indiana. And it worked out where I was able to get that. And so I put a bucket list race I'm part of a group called the Track Chasers, which is where you go try new racetracks. And so I put a bucket list race with Track Chasers. I spent Thursday night in Brasstown, North Carolina for the Flow Racing Night in America Castrol Dirt Late Models. Spent Saturday and Sunday at Winchester, the Winchester 400, which was bonkers. It was wild. A lot of controversy. They were fighting on the front stretch at the end. It was crazy. But Friday night, I went to Ohio Valley Speedway in Washington, West by God, Virginia, and watched the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association, which is one of these great little tours that we have. And it was awesome. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see.
It looked like a good night.
It was a great night. It really was. Let's get right into it. Our Hefter Racing product hot topics. The Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association was founded in 2010, and you have the All Stars in Ohio, Pennsylvania. You had at that time the Fast Series was just Fremont and Attica, and so this Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association was kind of the southern part of Ohio. I think that they said it was like a two-hour radius of Charleston, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some West Virginia and Ohio there. Randy Fink is the owner of it. He is a one-man band. He is a dynamo. I am telling you what, I got exhausted watching Randy Fink on Friday night. So he really digs. And this year they had a 12-race season. Friday night, Jake Hassan picked up the win, his third win of the year. Great, great race. They ran 25-lap feature. They ran the first 23 laps with no cautions.
Oh, wow.
And the caution was the leaders battling in lap traffic. Ricky Peterson, who led early, kind of clipped. He wasn't happy. I don't know. It's a race. To me, it was racing. But he kind of clipped another lap car. But they were heavy deep in lap traffic. It was a good race.
Yeah.
That one caution. Jake Hassan picked up a third.
It didn't look
the
like the widest track either. So I could see navigating traffic. Would
yeah,
be
it was a little tough. The yeah. bottom was real bottom yeah. sensitive down there. But my man, our man, Danny Smith, who's going to join us in a little bit, was the champion of the series. And I got to talk to him. I mean, you just can't go wrong when you talk to mm-hmm. Danny. And I'm going to bust his stones a little bit, because if I'm playing a lottery, I'm never going to have Danny Smith draw my numbers.
He had the worst.
Danny Smith,
draw.
My God, did he pass some cars. Because he drew last in the heat, and then they had a 9-car invert, and he drew 9, I think it was, in the invert for the feature.
Yeah.
But he ended up finishing third. You want to talk about bottom sensitive. Now, everyone was running the bottom, but Danny had a line lower than that coming out. He was getting after it coming out of four. But it's that veteran yep. pedaling, that pedaling. And it was just awesome to be at a sprint car
yeah.
race. Sprint cars have been few and far between in my 115 races this year. And to get back to a sprint car track was awesome. And I am so pumped, because the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association, their season is obviously wrapped up. But boy, I really enjoyed. Great, great people. Got to meet some of the other racers along the way. Got to see one of your old engines compete as well.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Gary Taylor's car had one of your. It's just fun because we're all a sprint car family. And it's just good to see people that I don't know.
Yeah.
But you get to know.
Yep.
You know, and it was just fun. Some guy all Wing Nation from head to toe, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, my man was representing.
And this one, it wasn't staggering like the one you saw in Talladega.
Like staggering like at Talladega. No, this guy was in the stands. It was awesome. So kudos. A great, great racetrack. Friday night racetrack up in Washington, West Virginia, which is just south of Parkersburg, West Virginia, right across the river from it. I stayed in Parkersburg. What a trip. What a yeah. trip. I got dirt late models. I got sprint cars. I got asphalt super late models. And it was fun. I like traveling every once in a while, just getting in a car and going. I had yeah. podcasts queued up. I had this. I had all kinds of good stuff, and it was great. So fun time. And kudos to everyone in the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association. We're going to talk to Danny Smith a little bit later on. World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, Lakeside Speedway. They got rained out at 81 on Friday night. Yeah. Lakeside. Man, I'll tell you what, Donnie Schatz is on a roller coaster, ain't he?
He really is.
I mean, this
it's
is
either, yeah,
yeah,
either hot or cold.
Yeah, sub 20 finishes at Port Royal and gets her wound up pretty good at Lakeside, and coming to the white flag, gets David Gravel trapped
yeah,
behind
he was rolling.
Traffic, and Donnie Schatz picked up the win, took the lead in a career win number 11, win number 5 on the season, but Donnie's last win was on a prelim night at Knoxville.
Wow.
Yeah.
Career win 311. That is...
That's getting it done, ain't it?
It's just crazy.
When you think about it, yeah.
I remember it took a while to get to the 300. There was like, remember that? We were like ready to dial them up. But still, when you think of that amount of wins with the World of Outlaws.
We lose our minds with whether it's Danny Lasoski with the 100-ish something that he has at Knoxville, Lance... And Fred Raymer in Pennsylvania, we lose our minds with that. And then you got Donnie 311.
Yeah.
Including taking him off from Danny Lasoski at Knoxville and Lance Deweese and Fred Raymer in Pennsylvania. Yeah. I mean, 311 is amazing.
I need to go back and look at the stats. What I forget where Steve is at. Kinzer.
Oh, it's not even close.
Because it was like 500, but that was before they counted preliminary nights as 8 mains.
Yes.
And when they added that to it, it was like, that's just...
Yeah, Steve's is ridiculous.
It's like 800
yeah, it's
or something.
Or
something
yeah. like that. Yeah. It's just great. It really, truly is. King of the West Series, the Maury Williams tribute race, Twin 20s. Justin Sanders and DJ Netto picked up the win. Two more races for the King of the West Series. Kern County and Bakersfield coming up, and the Gary Patterson tribute race coming up, and Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. There's some of the video. Oh, Craigor's got video lined up, man. boy, they were rolling out at Hanford.
Yeah, they
were. I love what Peter Murphy's got going on out there. They were absolutely digging. And Justin Sanders and DJ Netto pick up the wins. Man, oh, man.
And I'm just still, you know, so entertained by the Dominic Selzy social media drama.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Everybody at the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Series are old fat guys. Everybody's an old fat guy.
I need to order one of the shirts. I do.
It's unreal. Yeah, and if you're not familiar, Dominic started this. I've got it here on my phone. This is good enough to give me a second. I got to fish my phone out of here because I saved them all. Dominic Selzy sent out a note here. Where is it at? I saved
it. It was about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it was about a week and a half ago. It's not. It's my new phone doesn't save things where it's supposed to save. Okay.
Well, it saved things, but not where you wanted to save. Yeah.
Well, okay, and it is one of those like Android things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I found this. Dominic Selzy tweeted, just a PSA for kids coming up into sprint cars on their way of becoming the next Kyle Larson. Race with respect, please. It will get you further than anything else. I've seen more kids under 20 turning right or left on cars this year than ever in my life. It's ridiculous, and it's going to get somebody killed. These aren't go-karts. These aren't micros. And you're probably not as good as you think you are. These cars are not toys. Don't treat them as such. And that was Dominic Selzy, and a lot of feedback on that. A lot of feedback on it, okay? Danny Torgerson, his son, is a young racer, okay? Danny Torgerson last week goes, just a PSA for old, overweight guys still in sprint cars on their way to becoming the next washed-up wannabes.
Mm.
You're in the past. Youth is the future. Might be time to hang up your helmet.
Wow.
Please, it will get you farther than anything else. I've seen more washed-up racers turning right or left on cars this year than I have in my life. It's ridiculous, and it's going to get somebody killed. These aren't golf carts. They aren't mobility scooters, and you're probably not as good as you think you are.
Now, I thought that was just total sarcasm. I mean, obviously it is.
Well, it is a takeoff from that, but it was not taken as sarcasm.
Exactly. It was.
Holy cow. Well,
the responses.
And Dominic's what, 26, 27?
Yeah, he's so old.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we used to call him when he was in, but, had to go then, to the teachers.
Well, and I'll tell you, I've learned in the 12 years we've done this, I have learned, and we're going to talk to him coming up later on, I've learned that much of the poking and prodding and shenanigans that go on does come out of Chillicothe, Ohio, because I think the first one to jump in was Danny Smith talking about being an old fat guy racing, and once Danny jumps in, then it was game on. So I got a little bit. I thought this was a little tongue in cheek as well, but it was not. But
either way, it's offensive. Yes.
Well, exactly. So yes.
And
so Dominic, you know, it's like Dominic made the snowball, and then he Danny just started chucking him, and then it all started.
Yeah.
And then so everybody in Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association is an old fat washed up guy, old fat has been. That's what they were all were.
Yeah.
They were with pride. I mean, the kid that won, Jake Hessen won, he's a young kid. If one of the older guys would have won, that would have been victory lane. It's awesome. I mean, and here's the other thing. Silence out of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, shocking.
Because you know there's somebody sitting in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania that had to have his phone. He had to be twitching. Danny Dietrich had to
maybe
be twitching.
Maybe we're waiting for the final word.
We gotta check with him. Maybe is he all right? Dial him up.
Send the troops.
Wild. Wild stuff.
By the way, yes. So answering a question you guys had earlier, Steve Kinzer, 690.
690. Okay, yeah. So it's about 700.
Yeah, 690. Awesome. Good stuff. So there you have it. A little extra bonus social media drama, too.
Yeah.
It was, it's awesome. And it's just...
Well, now there's the T-shirt.
There's the T-shirt. Everyone's wound up.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is wound up.
And he's donating all the proceeds to the Benevolent Fund. I love it.
Yes, exactly.
I need one.
Yeah. Wound up. Wound. Wound up. I am telling you, we're going to talk to Danny later on. We're going to talk to Sam Hayford-Teep Jr. Picked up both wins at Devil's Bowl, and then we've learned last week There's been a lot of speculation. We learned that the Devil's Bowl is
for sure
out, gone.
Set.
After Racing Products, the absolute number one pit utility vehicle in sprint car midget racing is a custom mule conversion from HRP. It starts with a solid platform, a dependable, great-looking Kawasaki mule.
And they're customized and built to each customer's specifications, like generator, air compressor, shock and radius rod racks, amazing toolboxes and drawers, LED lighting, walk-on roofs, and more. HRP Mule conversions perform, outlast, and maintain their value better than any other utility vehicle.
HRP Mules raising the standard again in pit utility vehicles. www.hrpracing.com. Stay with us, Sam Haferchief Jr. He joins us next.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Birds Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Let's go to the Sage Fruit hotline. I love when I dial up the World Wide Web and see a smiling Sam Haferchief Jr. in victory lane. And we saw it a couple times this year. He swept the ASA National Tour weekend at the famed Devil's Bowl. 65 career ASA National Tour wins, 9 wins at the Devil's Bowl, and he joins us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
I guess you are. That's for sure. It's been a weird season for you, and I know you haven't been to Victory Lane as much as you want to. Of course, you're a race car driver. Nobody has, but has to feel really, really good to string a couple nights together like you did at Devil's Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think we still know we could, compete. Obviously, at the ASCS 360 level, we've always known that. It's never been. I don't think we've ever questioned that. You know, obviously, this year we haven't made our stamp on the 410 ranks as much as we would have liked. But 410 right now is probably most competitive as any type of racing I've seen in a long time. So. It's just the reality of 410 racing right now.
For sure. Sam, talk about the weekend. It seems like, Saturday night you for sure had the car rolling. I thought it was interesting after the race. You talked about how, you went flag to flag, started on the pole, but you said you kind of weren't going as hard as you needed to or something along those lines because you knew you were going to get to lap traffic so quickly. Talk about, as a driver, how you gauge that, especially if you're leading.
Well, I just knew how good our car was, and I could tell we were so good that in wing racing now, dirty air is so bad that sometimes if you get to lap traffic, it can really hurt you if things don't go your way. So I just knew if the cautions rolled right, I could probably run hard for the whole time, but the cautions didn't really fall right to do that. They'd leave us too many laps left to keep running continually hard. So I just basically gauged myself to where I thought I was running a fast enough pace to where I didn't really have to catch lap traffic as fast as I, just if I could maintain where I was still gaining or staying ahead of second place and making some gains there, I just didn't want to hit lap traffic because, sometimes you can get in a position to where, you get in dirty air and you get slowed up and then it hits you at the wrong time and the guy in second could sneak by you.
Well, and I think actually that's kind of the way Friday played out as well, is that Blake was out in front, mm-hmm. and you find and is that not the case? You caught you were that advantageous guy in second place on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night he definitely had a better car than we did. But early on I tried to run the bottom some, which wasn't the place to be, but I tried to run the bottom some just to see how good it was gauging it towards the top of the racetrack, and I could maintain with him, and I knew once we got to lap traffic, if he never tried the bottom, that he probably wouldn't even try it. So, and that's actually how it worked out. We got to lap traffic and he tried to stay on the top and try to clear lap cars, you know, and he did for a while. And then, you know, we hit one just right, and it gave me the opening to get to the inside of him. And I thought he would actually go to the bottom the next lap, and he didn't. And kind of got pinched behind that lap car, and, you know, that won us the race. And, you know, we were lucky enough to get the win that night, and you know, not running 360s very much this year. You know, it's hard to dial your car in the first night when you haven't been running it that much. So the second night we came back and we made some really good changes. And then basically, obviously, we had a dominant race car, you know, quick time overall, won the heat from fourth, and then, you know, obviously won the feature from the pole. So it was about as storybook as you could get on Saturday night.
I want to go back. I want to go back to follow up on your answer to the previous question. You talk about leading, to Aaron's question about leading. Is it, and I have never sat in a race car, so I'm not the racing guy. And are there clues other leading the race and trying to hold a margin without getting into lap traffic? And I know we see some guys at certain places, they talk about a quick view of a video board or other things. Is it just a sense in a situation like that on Saturday night where you just sense what you're doing? Do you hear anything? What cues do you use to gauge the pace that you need to run?
You can hear stuff. You know, okay. Nowadays, like, it's pretty distinctive when you've got a guy on you, especially when it's, you know, the Saturday night, it got kind of right around the bottom. So it wasn't like a guy was just going to run a different line than you and pass you. So,
yeah.
You know, I could, and obviously it was a sense as well. Like, I think every driver has some type of sense, obviously. And then, you know, obviously you can hear if a guy's right on top of you as well. So it's, I just kind of use both of those things. And, you know, and I know we qualified quick time over the field and, you know, probably by like 0.2. And I know what I felt like at that time. So I knew how much better I felt in the feature. And I was like, well, I don't think there's, you know, we're so good that it would take something, you know, somebody'd have to do some magical stuff to pass us in a situation like that. So it's just kind of a sensation of all those things.
Sam, you talked about not running the 360 all that much this year and how Friday night it took you, obviously not long, but a little bit of time to dial the car in. Well, you talked about how competitive the 410s are. Does it, obviously it doesn't really mess you up going back to 360 because you won both nights this weekend, so that's kind of a dumb question, but it does it take a little bit of time to adjust when you haven't been running the 360 as much?
Oh, for sure. Like, I really noticed it when we went to Canada, you know, a month ago for the Canadian Nationals. You know, we still won. I mean, we won almost every time we hit the track except the last race. But I didn't feel like we really had a dominant car on the Friday night. And I felt like it took us some time to work. You know, it was a good thing we had a practice session on Thursday. And then Friday we got a little bit better. And then Saturday, you know, I felt like we were lights out. You know, with Saturday, I felt like we made some good changes. And when we make changes like that to get our car better, that helped us at Devil's Bowl too, because, okay, like, I know the things that we need to change to make the right feel. Like, that's been some of our struggles in the 410 is, you know, some of the changes we would normally make in a 360 to make that car better, you know, they don't really work the same way in the 410, you know, so some of the adjustments that you make and changes that you make, you know, they don't correlate between the two.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Sam Hayford-Teep Jr., the winner of the Winter Nationals down at Devil's Bowl. Sam, you as a driver from the state of Texas, a sprint car driver from the state of Texas, you understand more than probably most of us the significance of the Devil's Bowl, the importance of the Devil's Bowl in the sprint car world. and the significance of the announcement that the Devil's Bowl is going away had to be extra special. It's always big to win races, but it had to be extra special to get a couple more trophies out of that historic racetrack as well.
Yeah, I mean, I said it there Friday and Saturday that, you know, it takes me back, but I started racing there when I was 16, 17 years old. And I mean, that's over 20 years ago. And you know, you step back and you think about stuff like that and, you know, how instrumental a place like that has been in my career, just to compete in all the races that I've competed in there and race all the legendary guys that have raced there. And just through the years, it's just unbelievable what that track has meant to me. And it's obviously with it going away, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow for everybody around this sorts, because, you know, Devil's Bowl has always been the place, you know, and there's not going to be a track that comes to fill that slot. You know, it's similar to like I-30 Speedway last year, you know, like that place was, you know, everything to everybody in that area. And it meant a lot to me because I've raced a lot of my career at I-30 as well. And just, you know, we see a track like I-30 go last year, and then we see a track like Devil's Bowl go this year. It's really sad to see. And you know, hopefully something can take the place of those two places and make up for it. You know, you got Tim Crawley promoting, you know, down there in Texarkana at 67, trying to keep the short track nationals alive. So, you know, we wish him a lot of luck down there, and hopefully, you know, that proves to be good down there too. But, and hopefully something can take Devil's Bowl slot as well.
Sam, when you talk about racetracks that are that significant going away, what are your thoughts generally about this? You know, it seems like our sport in general is heading in a great direction. The competition level is great. The big paying shows are great. Some tracks are thriving. What are your thoughts on why we're losing some of these historic tracks?
You know, at the end of the day, I mean, Devil's Bowl was around for, you know, 50 years. I think anybody in their position that's gave as much as they've gave to the sport, you know, 50 years is a long time, you know, they've been at it for a long time, and to stick their neck out. I mean, I can tell you right now, we've been to races of theirs, you know, at an ASCS show on a Friday night where they don't have very many fans, but they've always been loyal to those groups and always put on these shows for these people. And not to say they haven't made money on some shows, but even the shows that they know they're going to take a hit on, they've taken those hits and they've stuck their neck out for a lot of series, a lot of racers. And I think at the end of the day, you know, business is business, and, you know, property value in those areas, it gets exponentially high, and they have to make the right decisions for their families. I don't hold anything against them for doing what they've done, and I have a lot of gratitude for those type of racetracks that have stuck it out as long as they have.
Well said. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Sam, congratulations. Are you running with the World of Outlaws there this weekend?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be there this weekend. That was kind of the reason we wanted to race there last weekend. Yeah. It was obviously a homecoming for me, and my family doesn't get to watch me race very much. So when we can get home, we do that. And then on top of that, you know, being the last Winter Nationals for ASCS and obviously the Outlaws making their final appearance, we'll definitely be there for sure.
We wish you well this weekend. Thanks for the time, Sam.
All right, thank you guys.
There we go. Sam Hayford-Teep Jr., so well stated on that. We ran into this with one of my home tracks, 5 Mile Point Speedway. Now, they've had a stay of execution, and we don't know what's going on, but we get to the stage. That track started in 1950, so we're 73 years.
Yeah.
And when you think of small businesses operating, small businesses fail every hour, every day. And so when you think of tracks, whether it's 5 Mile Point, my original home track, I-30, Devil's Bowl, these small businesses have been going on forever and ever, and there's no guarantee that a small business and a small business family is going to continue on. So that is so well said for Sam, and I respect his opinion, his statement that, yes, it's sad, but the gratitude Yeah. That we've had the run with these places that we've had is really, really well stated. We need to step away. When we come back, Danny Smith joins us next.
Perfection isn't easily
clear
achieved.
And Danny's with us.
It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
We're already having fun. We dial up our drivers during the break, and we get a chance to talk to them, and we're already having a blast talking to Danny Smith, who joins us now for real on the program on the Sage Fruit Hotline. He is the 2023 Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association champion, of course, Hall of Famer, and so many other accolades. Danny Smith joins us. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm good.
Well, I bet you are, Danny. First and foremost, just a real joy to get a chance to see you in person and watch the race on Friday night. And was this kind of the game plan all along, this Ohio Valley Championship, or did you get started down this course? How did this season play out for you to get to this point where you got another championship?
We didn't really have any plans coming into this season. We started our annual trip down south and ran the 410 and 360 stuff. Then I only have the one motor, and we couldn't race it to death. We had to make it last all year. So diesel fuel's high. We're getting old. We're going to stay close to home this year and run everything close to home. So this weekend will be our first road trip since April. So we stayed close to home. The Ohio Valley Series worked out very well for us because they're all within a couple hours of the house, plus our races at Atomic and the other tracks we run around here. So that kind of turned into the plan as the season went, and it worked out pretty good.
It sure did. Danny, with all the races you've won, and I'm sure championships you've won, what does this one mean to you? It has to be pretty special to wrap up a championship like this.
Yeah, it is. 50th. Year driving these things, 66 years old, you know, we're getting fatter and older by the minute, so it's good for our crew, keeps everybody pumped up, good for the fans, keeps them happy, our sponsors happy, and just another feather in your cap, and it's fun. You know, racing isn't always about winning, but it sure does help and make life so much easier when you win now.
No doubt about
sure
it.
Does.
No doubt about it. This series, Randy Fink is the owner of this series, the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Series. He really seems to have found a little niche here around your area that not only you, but my gosh, that's a pretty good local crop of racers that you have up in this area that maybe we don't see with the All-Stars and we don't see with Fast. We don't even see Attic on Fremont. That Southern Ohio, West Virginia is a pretty good little bed of race cars.
Yeah, it's good for all the local guys around here that, you know, gives us a place to race, some tracks we don't normally go to. I think we got six or seven tracks in this year, and plus had a few more, but the rain got us. But worked out really well for, you know, the local guys around here at Atomic can stay home and race. And then when we go travel with Randy's deal, it's not much traveling. It's a no-pressure series, you know, kind of a grassroots series. And it was started by a West Virginia racer. and turned it over to Randy a few years ago, and it's worked out really well for us.
Yeah, it sure has. Danny, 50 years in a sprint car, being a sprint car driver is not the easiest lifestyle to live and manage. How have you been able to make it work for all those years and successfully make it work? And I think you have wins in pretty much all those years. What do you attribute to making it last so long and doing so well?
I think the main reason I'm still racing is, and it's not by choice, it's just the way it turned out. I never had any kids. So no kids to focus on, no grandkids to focus on when I'm my age now. And just the passion and desire to do it. I just love it, and it's been my life, and I've been lucky enough to be associated with a lot of good people. I own my own team now. That kind of sucks in this day and age. It costs so much, but just love it. And you know, like I said, with no kids, what else would I be doing? I'd just be sitting at Walmart at the greeter stand saying, "Have a good day." So, might as well keep on racing.
Might as well, that's for sure. We don't need you there at the Walmart. We need you out at the racetrack
with the smiley face on your back.
That's it.
Yeah.
Asking people if they're
good. You know, I get to live my dream and do my passion. I'm still at 66 years old. I still have the passion to do it. So it's harder and harder. You know, the car owner part is stressful, but got a lot of little sponsors, no big major ones that keep us going, and got a lot of great fans out there that are always on my side. So it's always good to keep going and make them happy.
Well, I always look forward to when you release your new paint scheme every year. That's one of
my highlights of the spring.
That's
the off-season, exactly.
Stay tuned.
Wow.
Next year's 50th anniversary season, since we got 50 years in the book. So we might have something a little different. Might change the shade of white or the shade of red. But we might have something a little different. You're going to have to stay tuned and maybe around Florida time, everybody gets to see it.
Man, oh man, that is one of the highlights of the offseason for sure. Danny, you stuck close to home, but we were talking off air. You're getting ready to go some 360 racing with Pete Walton. And what were you saying? You've got someone working with you on a motor or something new. What's going on with your engine program on the 360 side?
My engine builder, J&D, who's done it for years, retired.
Okay.
And some of my other sponsors, Cure Speed Shop, they're all retired, so I'm outlasting them. Scott Baylor in near Dallas, Texas, is going to do my 360s, and after we get done with this weekend, we're going to take what's left to him and have him get it ready for Florida.
Danny, I know you've followed the USCS for years and Pete's program. How nice is it this year to have that Ohio Valley Sprint Car Series? And just like you said, all within a certain radius of your home. How nice is that for you at this point in your career?
It's good to be home. I get to see my wife every day. And she works so many different odd hours. She's an RN at the local VA here and takes care of our vet. So it's good to be home and see her a lot, take care of the animals and give her a break. Nice to sleep in your own bed about every night, but I still miss the road. I'm one of them guys I could load up and be gone for a month, 2 months, all year racing if it come to that. But it is nice to be home and have this little series that Randy keeps going and be close to home and race for a little bit of good money and have some fun doing it.
Back in September, Danny, you picked up a win at Skyline Speedway on a Friday night, and you decided to haul on up to Sharon Speedway and tackle the world of outlaws and raced your way in. And in talking to people who were there and watching it on Dirt Vision, you know, raced your way in, you know, somewhat well there when you got that car rolling. What's it like knowing where you're at, knowing what you have, knowing where you're at to be able to go out and do that and lock it into a World of Outlaw feature every once in a while?
Yeah, I kind of pick and choose my races and go where we think we can do the best to have the most fun. And Sharon is typically kind of gets slick and slow, which is my style now. And I had the idea we could go up there and get it in the show and and do some racing and enjoy it. And I hadn't been to Sharon for 3 or 4 years, so it's one of my tracks that I really enjoy going to. So that's what we do. We kind of pick and choose our races, think where we can do the best, spend the least amount of money, and make the most, and wear and tear on the car. That's kind of why I don't run many half miles anymore. Wear and tear is bad, plus our budget is not up with, say, World Outlaw caliber. But when you go to Sharon, like Sharon, the smaller track, slick, kind of equals things out. So that's what we do.
Well, that was neat to see. Danny, I wanted to commend you for supporting Dominic Selzy and the whole, you know, old overweight racing guys. I just wanted to give you a little shout out for that.
Well, I don't understand it. You call him old and fat. He ain't old. Young.
He's young. That's right.
Seriously.
But yeah, we had some fun with that. You got to have fun with it. And Dominic's the type of guy that he brought it, the old fat guy, to another level. I see he's got shirts now. That's pretty cool. And it's all going to a benevolent fund in California for injured drivers. So you always take something, a negative, and make a positive out of it. That's the best way to be.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Final question for you, Danny. I told Aaron, I said, if I ever was going to pick numbers for the lottery, I was not going to have you pick, because my God, after Friday night, you might be the worst drawer in the planet. You picked last in your heat race. You drew at the back of the redraw. You had to made yourself pass a lot of cars on Friday night.
Well, I was the last one in the redraw, and there was a 2 and a 9 left for the feller in front of me to draw. And of course he drew the 2. So I was stuck with what I got. Sometimes it's number one, but just got to roll with the flow. And that racetrack was in pretty good shape. It was a fun race to run, and had a couple of rears where you could pass cars, and it worked out good.
It did. You were passing.
Yep. Fourth place finish, made a little money, had a lot of fun. And Ohio Valley is about as grassroots of a racetrack as you can get to. They start out with the kids and the mini wedges, and then they had 6 or 7 different classes of all different kinds of cars, and a small track, small facility with a big crowd. So it doesn't get any better than that.
Boy, you are so right about that. They do it, Aaron. They bring out at 6 o'clock. They have the kids on the mini wedge and a little oval in the infield, and the big crowd. He's not exaggerating there. There was people all over the place. So really cool, Danny. Congratulations on the championship, and good always catching up with you. And thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
Hi guys, thanks for having us. Have a good one. Appreciate it. The time.
There we go. Danny Smith, the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association 2023 champion. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over 3 generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, of course, one sprint car place in Knoxville, Iowa. Birthdays, Norm Witt, Charles Dutch Bauman coming up, John Ambler, Floyd Trevis, Gordon Woolley, Ted Hallibrand, Gaylord White, Dave Argabright has a birthday coming up on Sunday. Today would have been the birthday of 2015 inductee Gil Sonner. Born in 1934, got hooked on racing very early, and he owned and operated Gil's Auto Service in Des Moines, Iowa. 1966, he started fielding cars down at Knoxville's. First driver was a guy named Lee Pinckney. Drivers at Knoxville were Jerry Potter, Billy Robison, Scott Richard, Rocky Hodges, and in 1994, he had some guy by the name of Danny Lasoski win the track championship. That success in 94 took him on the road to the World of Outlaws, where in 1996, some guy by the name of Johnny Hollywood Herrera parked Gilly's car in victory lane for the Kings Royal. Other drivers that have wielded his famous car: Jack Audenshield, Jimmy Seals, Keith Kaufman, Kenny Jacobs, Sammy Swindell, Shane Carson, Terry McCarl, and Jeff Swindell, I'll never forget, and it probably was 2016, 2017. Remember when Jeff Swindell put that car in the Knoxville Nationals A-Main?
Absolutely. Yeah, Don Drought drove it for years,
Oh, that's right. Don Drought drove it too, So, so much fun, so much success. Gil passed in 2017, but he is forever enshrined in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Coming up on the schedule, a couple of big ones. We just talked to Sam Hayfortiep Jr. about it. This is apparently the final hurrah for the famed Devil's Bowl. The history of the Devil's Bowl goes way, way back. Mm-hmm. The history of it with sprint car racing goes back to the beginning of the World of Outlaws, March 18th, 1978. Ted Johnson took a band of sprint car racers, put them together at the Devil's Bowl. A California guy in a non-wing sprint car by the name of Jimmy Boyd won that first race. $2,000 win, and the rest is history as the World of Outlaws continue on to be the foremost, the premier sprint car series in the country. Lanny Edwards' family ran the track, iconic track. Lanny passed away in 2016, and the family has sold the Speedway. So, we're moving on. This weekend, it is the Sprint Car Stampede Friday and Saturday night. Babs Motor Speedway has a race, and Aaron, batten down not only the appetite, but the sprint car racing out west this weekend.
I know. I always love to hear about this race for many reasons, but one is the off-track activities that seem to get better every year.
Shenanigans.
It is the Abreu Vineyards Trophy Cup 29, and it's presented by Routine Racing at my favorite racetrack, the Thunder Bowl Raceway in Tulare. The last year, the total to date that they have given to Make-A-Wish from this race is $2,675,000.
Because this is a race and a charity.
Yes.
And they will auction off anything.
Literally anything.
Literally anything and everything. They do it. Now, so they give a lot of money to charity, but they give a lot of money to the racers as well.
They do. The overall winner would get a minimum of $29,000. Saturday A-Main qualifiers get a minimum of $6,000. Thursday is the preliminary night followed by your taco feed.
Here we go.
Yeah, now here comes the food.
Comes the food.
And did they do that like dating thing one?
They did a matchmaking. They've done newlywed. They've done, I mean, it's just, they did one night they had, I think, Tim Kading breakdancing or something.
Yeah, they did auction off like a date or they've done all sorts of crazy stuff.
So Friday night is the taco feed. Now we get to the good stuff.
Well, yeah. So Steve makes these notes and I love that there's not a lot of like racing stuff involved here.
No, we got priorities.
It's the night and the food that they offer that night.
Thursday prelim night, taco feed. Friday prelim night, barbecue. Saturday, I didn't even mention the race because in the afternoon you got a spaghetti feed.
There literally is nothing about the race.
Nothing about the race.
Not about the points and how it works or the laps.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all, because we've got our priorities in line here in order at Wing Nation. 90 entries. I literally scrolled through the entry list. I saw Justin Peck. I saw Cole Macedo has entered in it. Rico is going to, of course, be there. There was a couple of Zeb Wise going to be there. And some other. It is 90 entries.
Loaded I love up. This race.
And this is an inversion.
And this is the race that you don't have to win the final night to win the trophy.
They have to do a lot of math to get to the winner because
everything is fully inverted.
Everything is inverted. That's my fear, is that I would go out there, but I would get in line first for the taco feed and they'd invert the line.
A full invert.
I don't trust them with their inverts.
They do love some inverts.
They do like some inverts out there. And so my luck is I'd get out there and I'd look at the end of the line and Dominic Selzy would be back there laughing. And then they'd say, guess what? We're inverting the taco
full
line.
Full invert,
Full invert of the taco line.
Well, so, you got to get the old fat guys tragedy. Up there up front.
Get the old, the
well,
old
you
fat
actually got to put them last so they leave something.
I loved it. Danny Smith said, he's not old. That's what he said about Dominic Selzy. Did you hear him go?
Yeah.
Old fat guys, he's not old.
That's Danny.
This is fun. This trophy cup, it's fun from the food and the event perspective. It is great for the racers, but Aaron, you mentioned it. $2,675,000 since 1994 have been raised for the Make-A-Wish, and that Make-A-Wish thing, that is God's work. Make-A-Wish
it really
Foundation.
Is. I actually did. I volunteered for Make-A-Wish for a while in the NASCAR garage.
Yes.
So a lot of the kids would come in, and their wish would be to meet a certain driver, and I would help facilitate it. And whew, it's emotional.
That is a
Met some special little kids.
Special kids, that's for sure. So if you're out there on the West Coast, it is Tulare, the Trophy Cup, the 29th running of the Trophy Cup out at Tulare. So going to be great. This week on our Wing Nation TV program, we talked to Lance DeWeese, and it was awesome.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, it's interesting because we didn't
talk engineering.
Well, we did a little, but he talked a little bit about that. He can't help himself. but it was fascinating because, like, for the first time, we couldn't really talk much about the Dream Team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, but we talked a lot about the Macri team and all of that and his season
his future,
and everything else. And that is coming up. That is Rev TV on Wednesday night, Mav TV on Friday. Wing Nation gear. Can I say these are great holiday gifts at this point? I mean,
You've been saying it all year, so why stop now?
Well, no, I understand it, but what am I supposed to do? We end these shows in early November. With y'all two Grinches and bah humbugs.
You started in May.
Well, I understand that because I want you to tuck something away. I want to sell some of this stuff.
But I told you what happens if I buy that early, then I hide it and I can't remember where I hid it.
I don't care what you do with it. I care that you buy it. We're here trying to sell the stuff.
I don't care what y'all do with it.
The guy at Ohio Valley Sprint Car was wearing it because he chose to use it. Somewhere he bought it, but then he chose to use it. But you got to buy it first. He had to buy it first.
Yeah,
and he looked marvelous in that. He had the hat and the shirt.
Wow.
He really did. He was awesome.
Messing around.
So he bought. So, okay, don't buy Wing Nation gear. Shop wingnation.com for Christmas gifts or anything else because
just buy it.
Ebenezer Scrooge over here.
I love Christmas, but it has its time.
Worried about the holidays. Craig's all twisted
up. Are you one of those people that put your tree up in June?
No, I don't put it up in June. But the problem is this. I know what's coming. We go off the air
the first week. You like going into Lowe's.
We go off the air the 1st of November. When am I supposed to pimp this stuff?
You're one of those people that likes when Target puts out the Christmas stuff in July.
No, I do not. I don't go to Target.
He didn't put it up in June because it was already up in May.
You're
a year-rounder. I have one of those neighbors that
they
leave the tree up year-round, I think.
We got to move this gear. We've got to move this stuff. Sky's sitting up there. And the problem is once we hit the 10th of November, we're off the air. So when am I supposed to sell it for the holidays?
Social media?
Well, yeah, but this is where all the people gather. This is where all the peoples are. They come and see us
because they're
Tuesday.
Not on social media at all.
Well, no, they're busy buying fat guy shirts on social media.
But yet they're watching this on social media.
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
Oh gosh!
So don't go buy your Wing Nation gear. Just go buy it.
Not even for a holiday. Just buy it.
Bah humbug over here. Bah humbug. Oh, well.
Happy Halloween.
Go buy it for Halloween. Just give it to the trick-or-treaters.
There you go.
Yes, that's it. Buy a bunch of Wing Nation hats and give it to the little crumb crunchers running around your neighborhood.
They could dress up like Steve Post.
Yeah, there we go.
We
could sell wigs.
Yeah, we could sell wigs, exactly.
That's the Steve Post hat and wig combo.
See, that's now all of a sudden luscious locks. That's right. Who was the one that said that?
I don't remember.
Someone said luscious locks.
I know exactly who I'm being for Halloween now.
There we go. Absolutely. That's it. Well, we got that taken care of. All right. Thank you to Sam Haferteep Jr. and Danny Smith. More important than all of that, thank you for joining us here on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit.
Clear.
This NASCAR season, Toyota Racing isn't looking for just anyone to join the team. No, we're looking for bankers, the ones who are open on Sundays.
So if you live for the gravity-defying 31-degree banks like this one on Turn 4 at Daytona,
then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.